done. You strap your child into a chair, and now she's just up there screaming.
You're lucky we weren't throwing food at her. That's usually what happens.
Throw food at her?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's fun.
Did you ever watch the show Third Rock from the Sun?
Oh, yeah.
There is a scene in that show where their feet try to feed a baby, and they show it from the baby's point of view, and it's French Stewart and Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and the baby spits food all out on Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and he just spits it back at the baby. And, or maybe French Stewart spits it back, spits food at the baby. And how funny is that? That it's like, you're spitting food at a baby.
Yeah, so I didn't really listen to... I haven't listened to any of them yet, but I saw that they're all on there now.
Yeah.
The Last Lecture.
The Last Lectures.
And I'm interested to hear... Well, who, you got Ryan.
Oh, okay, so we did Mitch.
Sarah. Mitch, yep.
Mitch, Tim.
And Tim, yeah.
Ryan, Sarah, and Ashton.
Ashton, that's... Yeah, I want to listen to those, yep. Those are good. Those will be good.
They were pretty good.
So when did it set in that this was really happening?
That, like, I was leaving?
Yeah. Like, this was really over. I know there's a couple times where I talked to you and you're like, yeah, I feel it. I feel it. But when did it really, like, click, say, oh, yeah, this
I
is...
I don't know. Like, because, well, the one thing is I don't grow attached enough to things where I was like, oh, this is real. I don't know if, like, maybe Tuesday night, will, you know what I mean, when it will be real.
Right before you're leaving an empty apartment. And
or when I'm sitting out in Indy with none of my personal possessions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That might be different. But, I don't know. It really, I don't work that way, I guess. So, like, I don't know. It's been, I don't know. It's, I think the part that's been the weirdest to me has been when I've told people, and I know it kind of got out, but there were some people I wanted to, like, tell, like, before they heard from other people, and then their response is, I don't know how I'm gonna tell my kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that was weird.
Yeah.
Because that's weird to have, like, those kind of connections. You know what I mean?
It's good.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, that's like, in your mind, do you still have a part of you that's like, what am I doing? I'm not an adult. I'm a child. I'm in elementary school, and I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like... So, like, there's a big part of me that's like that. So it's weird to me.
I had that about 8:05 this morning. I had to get the kids in about 10 minutes, go out to the playground and get them, and then it's like, oh, yeah, I need to go do this.
Yeah.
This is what I do. You know, this is what
I
do.
Well, and that's the... I've always had a weird time with that, where it's like, oh, I'm... Like, so it's weird to me now that, like, my friends have kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or, like... I am not someone who I never, it's very hard for me, and I don't like to feel happy for someone else. Not like be happy for someone else, but feel happy because someone else is happy.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right.
Like, and I think that other people do that, and to me that doesn't happen very often. And it's very hard for me to be sad because someone else is sad.
Right.
You know what I mean? But like... I remember when I got a text from you that was like, it's a girl and she's healthy. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I felt happy for my friend who felt happy. You know what I mean? Because I know there was some chance that she might not have been as healthy as you were hoping. You know what I mean?
We sat there for a long time. I mean,
yeah, and
a long time.
And it was like that. And that was like, I'm like, what is this? Like, I have, you know what I mean? Like, I never feel happy because anybody else is happy. And I just remember being happy about that. So
you put a post on Facebook the other day with all some of your parting pictures.
Yeah, and I hate doing that.
That was
stuff,
yeah, but I know, but that was kind of cool to see some of them. Well, it was cool for me because for almost all of them, we were along for the ride. Both of us were. So that was kind of cool to look through.
And a lot of the pictures where either you or I were not in them, we are on the side.
Yep.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
so that just kind of the whole album gave a, well, for lack of a better term, a snapshot of what our time, you know, being professionals
was.
And
I was not going to do anything like that. And then the reason why I did was that my thought was, this will always be my roots. Whatever happens to me, this will always be my roots. And if I don't do it, someday I'm going to wish I did.
Yep.
And now,
so it's there.
Yeah. So right now, neither of us are employees of the Yellow Council.
Nope. Not anymore. Officially, you were official yesterday. Is that right?
Yesterday is my last day.
Yeah. You were official last yesterday.
So, it's, I think that'll be weird.
Yeah.
Like, so,
see, I'm to the point, you know, I've transitioned. You know what I mean? I'm to the point where now I'm, I don't know, 8 weeks, 10 weeks past when I was done. So, I'm definitely transitioned into this new role. But there are times where you, and you will too, you'll love it. You'll love what you're doing there. Everything will be new. And sometimes there'll be a little fleeting moment that comes by and you're like, oh, I remember how much fun I had doing that. Because I do. I every once in a while I'm like, man, how fun was that Back to the Future event?
Yeah.
How fun was that? How fun was Zomboree?
Yeah.
I had just as much fun, if not more, than most of those kids.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we put it on for the kids, but, and this is the God's honest truth, everything we planned, we wanted to go to.
Right. Well, and that's what I was saying last night. We never, like, and I don't know how people will take this, but our plan was we're going to do our job.
Yep.
We're going to accomplish our goals.
Yep.
But we were going to make sure that we had fun along the way.
Right.
And because our, you know, I think our theory was, if we're not having fun, pretty good chance that 6-year-old's not
absolutely
having fun.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, I've had people come up to me over the last couple of weeks and they'll say, well, you guys made a difference here. You know,
right.
Like that is totally a side effect of the fact that we just wanted to have fun with our job.
And we had the ability to do so.
Right.
A lot of professionals in the BSA, they don't have as much latitude as we were given. And we were given that much latitude, and we took advantage of it.
Yeah.
But I think we did in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we did anything that was out of bounds or, you know, off track. I think everything that we did was trying to stretch and get that little extra out of what we were doing. And it wasn't the normal campery or, you know, fishery or the things that you think of when you think of scouting. We wanted to push that
envelope. Well, and I think that we watched the people around us stress about the normal things.
Yeah. And you know, I thought, like, we don't have to do this. That's what we talked to each
other. Yeah.
We don't have to do these. We can do something different.
We had some people stressing, like, oh, I got to plan a campery. I got to plan a Weeblow in the woods.
I don't remember any event that we dreaded putting together.
Right.
I don't remember any. I think we genuinely enjoyed putting all those events together.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
We were given the ability to take a lot of risks.
Mm-hmm.
And 98% of it planned out for the most part. Yep. You know what I mean? So
yeah, there were a few that we put a lot of time and effort into, and sometimes you just don't get the kids to sign up.
I think that you and I are both like 5-year planners.
Yeah.
Where what am I doing now, and how does that affect what happens in 5 years from
right.
now? And so I look at some of the things that we had done the very beginnings of touching on, and I think like, what would have happened?
I know, you know that, what I mean? That's what I
that's kind of weird to not.
There are some events that we started, and some things that we started that I don't know if we'll ever really see it come to fruition. Yeah. Like, I know that STEM merit badge challenge at St. Ambrose could have been huge.
It can be huge.
That's exactly right. And I'm hoping to see that one day. That it is absolutely as big as Monmouth. You know? Because that was my goal. Mm-hmm. Why aren't we having this here? This is... Davenport's bigger than Monmouth. You know what I mean? The Quad Cities is bigger than Monmouth. There's no reason why we can't have something like mm-hmm. this here. And then people don't have to go as far. And there was some other thing. Oh, Weeblo's at the Marsh.
Yeah.
That one was a kick.
That was so... The program for that one was going to be so cool.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
They're going to camp. First time ever they're going to let people camp. That one would have been cool. What else? There was... Oh, some other things. Oh, the liaison.
Yeah, I wish we could have seen that before.
Me too.
That was...
I wish we could have...
That was something that I think people would have really looked at from from outside to kind of see how that would work out.
Yeah. And it was a total... That was not our idea.
Right.
That was our district commissioner. That was Jorge's idea. And we just took it and kind of ran with it and tweaked it and listened to him.
Yeah.
He had great ideas. What else? There's something. Oh, I really wanted to see so that it wasn't just a flash in the pan recharter again this season.
Yep.
I wanted to show that we could do it again.
Yeah.
As early, if not a little earlier, than we did.
Well, that's been the last week because I've been getting stuff out so that we can get started on October 1.
Yeah, because October 1 is when we're going to open it up.
Thursday. And. We're kind of pushing people at the office to try and get things so they get up by October 1.
Yeah.
So, because I want to make sure that happens again. And I'm not even going to be around.
Yeah.
But and I don't if you listen to this, please get your charter and mess
around. No, I think the last year and a half that we were together, that couldn't have gone much better.
This is what you and I have kind of talked about this. So we talk about, like, our relationship and how well we work together.
Yeah.
This is what I think how things work. There's this song out there now called The Renegades.
Mm-hmm.
And I listen to that song all the time. And they talk about the Spielbergs and the Kubricks. And I love that line. I love that line because I think that describes the two types of people.
Sure.
I think there are the Spielbergs and the Kubricks. Stanley Kubrick and Steven Spielberg, they're film directors. Right. We talk about movies all the time.
Right, right.
Kubrick's one of my favorites. Kubrick only did like 6 movies. Yeah. He didn't do very many. All those movies are masterpieces. It took him 5-10 years to make a movie. He didn't put out a movie every year.
Right.
And he put out a movie once a decade.
Right.
And all those movies are masterpieces. So 2001,
yep.
Clockwork Orange,
yep.
Full Metal Jacket, Eyes Wide Shut,
mm-hmm.
The Shining. You know what I mean?
Awesome.
Great movies. Spielberg puts out a movie every year.
Yeah.
And they're all masterpieces in a different way.
Right.
Spielberg is the pop. Like, he can get people to come out to the movie theater.
Right.
If you look at, like, Jaws was on in the restaurant yesterday, and I could have just sat there and watched Jaws. That movie's amazing. You know what I mean? Like, you have Indiana Jones movies. You have E.T. And then now, and then he gets into, like, Schindler's List. And he's just had a really good run at Lincoln. That came out. We talked about that. That's one of my favorite movies.
It's good.
And so there's two people. There's Spielberg and Kubrick. I think that in this situation, you're a Spielberg because you're the one who's like, we're going to get people to come out. I have this, you know, like, here's the ideas.
Right.
And you can do the, like, bang, bang, bang. These are, you know, this is, and I think I'm more of the Kubrick where... I think this also comes from the fact that I'm a painter. It takes me 6 months to do a painting.
Yep.
Like, I'll have a masterpiece. It'll take me 5 years to do it.
But,
you know what I mean? But I'll have a masterpiece at the end of the day.
Right.
And if you look at kind of the things where, like, I think I really spearheaded more, like, the recharter process.
Yep.
A thing that's going to take us, you know what I mean? And it's going to take us a long time to do it.
The interesting thing with all those is we never had... When you talked about the recharter process... And I thought, it's a great idea. This is something we should be doing. And I just let you go. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, okay, you got your ideas. You want to do this. You want to present at roundtable. Let's do it. You know what I mean? You go for it. And the same thing with you. You know, the St. Ambrose thing. That's your thing. Yeah. That's your thing. You go to the meetings, you know what I mean? You do your thing, build your committee there or whatever. Never stepped on each other's toes. We never said, oh, hey, how's that going? Whatever. It's just like, hey, you're doing your thing. I trust you to do that. And that's, yeah, so absolutely.
And so the other way, the way I think that we work as well, so we have those two, like, mind frames. Though, even though I love Kubrick, I would rather think of myself as a David Fincher. Fincher is our Kubrick. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, our Kubrick. Anyway, so the other thing I think that we worked well, because we totally yin and yanged perfectly.
Yeah.
So I think we'd go into a meeting, and you know, Mike never thought I was serious enough, but he was never in those meetings with us.
Right.
So we go into a meeting, and we might, like, I would usually start with a joke, and I can lace jokes in between, and you're the one doing business. And then, right, at the end of the meeting, I'm the one that goes, and we want $2 back on,
right,
every ticket. So, like, we had set up, like, a algorithm,
right,
where they're like, oh, this is the funny guy, and this is the serious guy.
Right.
And then at the end, it's like, oh, the funny guy's coming around to seal the deal here. You know what I mean? Where,
that was the thing. We had, and we started that from day one, we had a lot of meetings.
Yeah.
But I think that was our intent. I mean, we set out to meet a lot of people, build a lot of relationships, and by, you know, the first 5-10 meetings, we knew our roles. Mm-hmm. Never really talked about it, but then we come out of a meeting, and I'm trying to think of the one meeting where we're like, that just totally happened. Like, we couldn't believe that all of a sudden something grew. We went in there totally wanting to get something else out of it, and something grew out of it completely different. I can't remember what it was, but it was,
we had a meeting like that at the Putnam.
Yeah,
we had a meeting very much like that at the Putnam.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's your example.
I think it was
where we went in there to talk about movies or something, and then we came out of there with maybe a potential STEM crew or,
yeah,
something. You know,
yep,
what I mean? Where it just,
yep,
like, everything just kind of grew.
Yep.
But so, how are you enjoying the classroom?
I'm enjoying it a lot.
Yeah,
I mean, I have a big class. I have 34, so I'm the only sixth grade teacher in the building. That's not how the year started out. There was
wait. You're the only sixth grade teacher in the building?
Yep. Started out with two, and then the second grade class, they had two of them, and they had 30 and 31 or something like that. So they decided they needed a third section, and they took my teaching partner, who had taught second grade for, I don't know, 12 or 13 years, but had a hiatus where she raised her kids or whatever. So anyway, they gave us the option. They sat us both down and said, what would you guys like to do? We looked at each other, and I just told her, Andrea, tell me what you want. In your heart of hearts, you tell me right now what you want, and that's what we will do. Because I'm going to teach regardless.
Right.
If I'm in sixth grade or second grade, I'm going to teach. And she said second grade. And so she took second grade, so I'm the only sixth grade teacher in the building. Large class. My class is really full. Hardly any room in there. Kids are difficult.
Yeah.
Routine's important. We've been working on a lot of routine. But gradually working my way up to being able to teach. And those are the best parts of my day.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. There's something about it. And I know that you, at some point, you felt the same way.
Yeah.
There's something electric about when you are teaching and you can see something click in a kid's eyes, and then there's something going on there that you know they're learning. And that's starting to happen, and it's really cool.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that we can continue on, and like I said, every day. It's a day-to-day thing. It really is, and it's stressful, but I think any kind of career change is. That's what I have to keep in mind. I have to keep in mind, and I just said that to Emily yesterday. You know, I was almost four years into my career at the BSA. I was to a point where I was comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where I knew what was happening the next day and next week and the week after that. And then I get into a career where it's brand new. I know what's ahead of me. But there's a lot of new things there, a lot of new assessments, a lot of new professional developments and things like that. So it's all new. So any kind of career change when you're used to, when you're comfortable in a career and then you change, it's going to be difficult. So I have to keep that in mind. And it's still relatively new. I mean, the end of the first quarter is next week, like a week from today. So I've only got a quarter in. So there's a lot of school year left. But 2 week break's coming up. Looking forward to that. I know the kids are too. But it's good. It's a really good thing. I don't doubt it for a second.
You guys have a balanced calendar.
Yep.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I don't doubt the change for a second. You know, there's some times where you're like, oh man, I'd really like to plan an event like that. But yeah, there are some byproducts that are still hanging on. For example, one of my teaching partners, she just moved to the area and her husband goes to Palmer. Well, they were going to a Bandits game. It was their first Bandits game. So I called Paul and I said, hey, it's their 3 month anniversary. They're newlyweds. Can you do something for him? Give him some swag or something. I don't know. Can you just do something for him? Make it memorable. And he said, what if we just put their name up on the Jumbotron and say, congratulations on 3 months, Kim and Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that'd be fantastic. And so he said, we'll do it. So I told her, I said, you make sure that you're watching the Jumbotron in the seventh inning. And she saw it and she just thought it was the greatest thing ever. And it was a small thing. Never would have had the opportunity if I didn't know Paul from the River Bandits. Tomorrow, Pat Anger is coming in to talk to my kids. Never would have had that opportunity. And we're talking now, both are byproducts of the podcast.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's other opportunities out there as well. But it's not an everyday thing. You know what I mean? That's what I kind of miss. Well,
That's been kind of the weird things. Like when I have gone... Like, I was at a meeting the other night. I went to visit my mom. Mm-hmm. I'm leaving, and my parents, my mom at least wants to see me. You know what I mean? So when she's been in the cities, because, you know, she's let me in and she's let me come, or she wants me to come over and have dinner or something. And I was at this one meeting having dinner with her, and Heather Ballou was at the meeting.
Yeah.
So when she left, I'm like, she left before I did. I'm like, I have to go tell Heather that I'm leaving.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, we had that. Then we. Who else was there? Oh, like going in to tell Sarah that I was leaving. Going in to tell Pastor Karen that I was leaving. Like that was kind of the weird.
Yep.
The weird moments when it was like
all byproducts of podcasts.
Because like I mean, there's some that crazy. I plan out in my mind. You know what I mean? Where it's like I'm gonna go tell Ryan and I'm gonna talk to Angie. Yep. You know what I mean? Like. When it's, and I remember going into the meeting where I knew I was going to have to talk to Bob and Matt. You know what I mean? Where it's like, those I had to plan out in my mind. Then the ones where it's more casual, like.
Impromptu.
Oh, and hey, by the way, this is happening.
Right.
Like, those are the ones where that was kind of odder.
Yeah.
So, man.
It's been a good run, man.
It's been pretty good.
Hey, how many episodes do we have total? Because this is the last episode of The Pulse.
I don't know how many episodes total. The total amount of guests.
Yeah.
So the weekly Friday episodes was 79.
79.
79. So then, Joey Deerdorf. I don't know if you've listened to her yet. Joey, who was 79,
I saw that
number
on
79. He's from Crossroads.
Nice.
So we made a pact that he'll whenever I get if and when I get things started at Crossroads, which won't be for a little while. He'll be the first guest at Crossroads.
Cool.
So they'll have that little bit of a connection. Another thing that I didn't tell you about, Donnie Stevens, National Vice Chief.
Yeah.
Made this great podcast. And, you know, and then afterwards, if you'll notice, in the podcast, I never ask him where he's from. I ask him what school he goes to. And we talked about he lives outside of Boston.
Yeah.
We talked about that a little bit. I never asked him where he was originally from. And afterwards... When I found out where he was originally from, I thought, Ian is going to kill me that this was not on the podcast.
Why?
Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Scranton, what?
Electric City.
Oh, man.
We interviewed you Scranton, Pennsylvania.
And you didn't do the Electric City rap video song for a lead in. That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
But you didn't talk about it, so.
Didn't talk about it.
Oh, that would have been cool.
So.
All right, so moving on to Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Your plan is still do this podcast.
Well, yeah, eventually. We'll have a break there. You know what I mean? Like.
Anna going to be your partner in crime.
Anna and I are in completely different, like, areas.
Sure.
And she will have much, much more on her mind.
Do you think she'd ever want to do that? Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You are a much better interviewer than I am. And if you ever listen to ones where I have to interview someone by myself,
it's horrible. It's not easy one-on-one.
It's not.
So when you have three people in the room, it's much, much easier. Especially when,
you know. Yeah, but there's ones where, like, I don't talk very much, and you really more led the interview, and you are much better at, like, because this is the thing. Like, I'll start an interview with, like, so, what led you up to here? That's how I saw.
So how'd you get here?
And you always are like, so you always have like a topic to like talk about right away, and I never think of that. Like, I'm just like, how'd you get here?
I'm trying to think of some of the most difficult ones to lead into, because there was a couple that just went. You know, I remember leading off a couple of them, and there was a couple, because I remember this. You would say, hey, do you want to lead off? Or I'd say that to you. Sometimes I didn't want to. Because I didn't know exactly how to phrase it.
If I ever said, hey, do you want to lead off? That's because I didn't know. Or I didn't know how to describe what the person did.
Or you didn't know their name.
I couldn't pronounce their name. And nine times out of ten, I can't pronounce or didn't know their name. And I am the worst at names. So you have Anna, who's like a sister to me, and I pronounce her last name wrong every time.
Oh, that was funny. Because that really would happen. Like, so you want to lead off with this one? Because I don't know their name. We just say the guy from whatever or the girl from whatever. And
yeah.
That's the way we'd put it on there. I don't know. But, yeah, that's interesting. I think Zach, if you would have hung around, I think Zach would have been an interesting partner.
Partner?
Yeah, because he's very dry, and I think, because when we interviewed him, when we did his podcast, mm-hmm. I thought a lot of what he was saying was really good stuff, you know, and I think he has a lot of good stuff to say, he's just very quiet.
Well, the thing is, Zach and I have been friends since we've been like 10.
And I think people would pick up on that right away, you know, and there's a lot to be said about that. That's why it's not going to be easy right away, and that's why when you say... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll eventually get to it. Because jumping into it right now, it'd be pretty bad.
Yeah.
Because
the one thing is, I don't know anything about up there.
Right. Right. That's the thing. We'd find little connections or maybe people that they knew that we knew or mm-hmm. something like that. And then we found common ground and then we kind of go from there.
Yeah.
Indy's all new, you know, so.
Yeah.
So if you have somebody out there, maybe the guy that they're hiring or gal they're hiring after the first of the year. Maybe they'll be really good at it. Who knows?
I don't know. Or maybe I'll just fly it solo and start every podcast with, how'd you get to here? Explain the last 50 years of your life.
That'll be
me.
The name of the podcast. How'd you get to here? That'd be good. All right, so you're going to Indy. You're thinking about a new podcast. Can't be The Pulse.
No.
What's it going
to
be?
Well, I don't know. I have to figure out what the matches feel, the district out there. Yeah.
That all just fell into place. The pulse, the heartbeat.
Well, that was the deal. So that's because somebody the other day asked where the pulse name came from.
Yeah.
Or why everything in the district is heart related. Because when I first started, it was Catan District, the heart of the Yellow Council.
Right.
And we kind of ditched that. Like, we don't, you know what I mean? We like simplified everything.
Yep.
But everything that we have is heart related.
Right.
We have the heartbeat and the pulse.
I remember you. I think you texted me one night, what do we call this? And I gave you like 8 different names.
Yeah. You would always do that. I remember when we said, what are we going to call this? And you gave me 8 different names for the in-betweeners.
Yes. And I, in-betweeners, and then you came up with the slogan.
Yeah.
In between work and the weekend.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. I thought that was so good.
I'll steal that.
That's good. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that was good. You're like, hey, what are we going to call it? And then I just throw out a bunch of names. Sometimes they work, sometimes they didn't.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember the pulse. I don't remember how we landed on that exactly, but we were trying to narrow it down, and then we found that you found the heartbeat tone.
Yeah.
That was a good idea. That was really good.
Well, what's funny, so remember we used to start with the Congos.
Yeah.
It was Come With Me Now.
Yep.
And Anna had given us that song way beforehand.
Yep.
And so I just kind of played around with that. And then I was like, hey, listen to this, because we had that recording with Paul. So I recorded all that. I'm like, listen to this. And you're just like, yes.
This is it.
And I had we had already done, I think we'd already done the Roundtable by that time.
Mm-hmm.
We'd done the Roundtable podcast, maybe.
Roundtables were not my favorite.
No.
They weren't, they did not have the dynamic that we had with
that was just a
other guests. It was a whole other feel. We were trying to push out information.
I think that if we would have had a conversation with Julie and had like we did with everybody else, which we never did. We never
did. I don't know why.
We would have had a girly bigger pot. Okay, so who do you wish we would have gotten on that we didn't?
Oh.
I'll give you a couple of mine. I wish we would have interviewed Dan Moore.
We didn't do Dan Moore.
I wish we'd have interviewed Jim Varcho.
Yeah.
And I wish we'd have got around to Jim Spellhog. We didn't get around to Jim Spellhog. Yeah. There was some we started, well, I wish we could have gotten one with like Live Uncommon. And
I wish we could have done more with some of the nonprofits.
We had some other nonprofits that we could have had a podcast with.
Also, the guy from the newspaper.
Bill Wondrum.
I wish we could have.
I wish we could have.
He could have had some really good stories.
So for anybody listening, Bill Wondrum was in. Bill Wondrum was going to do a podcast with us. Yeah. We talked with him. He was perfectly willing. And then we just never were able to get anything set up before we left.
So some of your favorites and the way that and then came around.
I wish we could have got Frank from the Erica Pickers.
We did.
Came close. We almost had Frank. We came as close, I think, we ever were going to get.
We were trading emails.
We came close, and we...
With his agent, or whatever you want to call it. Yeah. We were really trying hard.
There was a good point where we thought we were gonna meet Frank, get Frank from the American.
Well, the one person that I had been contacting, she said, well, the next time that you hear from us, it'll be from his agent, his direct agent. And it sounds like something that would be right up his alley. So we're like, oh, this is going to happen. That would have been cool.
So,
but who did we get that you really... Now, I enjoyed everyone. But some of the ones that were kind of long shots that I thought were pretty cool were Pat Anger.
Pat, yeah.
And then Bill Michaels. I thought those were cool. Because...
The other ones that I thought were long shots were Theron shooting Art Tate.
Yes. And Art Tate was
pure... Art Tate, I could talk to that guy all day long.
Gold.
I thought I could talk to that guy all day long.
Pure gold. That was so good. If you ever... Okay. So they always say in the BSA, they always say, get to know your principals. Get to know the superintendents. Go have meetings with them. Whatever. Yeah. If you ever want to hear a good meeting with a superintendent, listen to Art Tate's podcast.
Yeah.
That is exactly what you need. I mean, that is totally... That's sitting down with somebody, getting to know them, and then talking about what they have going on in their district, and not really even talking about what we have. You know, just listening.
Mm-hmm.
And he had so much to say, and I think if we were to see him today, and he would remember our faces after we would say, hey, we did the podcast, we would totally pick up where we left off.
You know, it's one of my favorite podcasts, and it was one where, like, we didn't know we were going to get out of this. And I truly, it was one of the most enjoyable, and we went over an hour, was Chris Page.
Yeah.
That was so much fun talking with him.
Yep.
And we could have talked with him the entire day.
Yep.
We could talk with him. And now, I'll only be like an hour or two out from Louisville. I could go do his race.
Wow.
So.
He had a lot of interesting stuff to say. I mean, Survivor and stuff was cool.
And we talked with him maybe an hour or at least a half hour after the turn on the mic.
That's right. How do we not do Dan Moore?
I don't know. Dan Moore has great stories.
Awesome stories.
Great stories.
How did that not happen? Dang it.
Because well, there's a regret. If we would have interviewed Dan Moore, we would still be interviewing
him. If we would have started
it's
it six
like
months
how,
ago.
I'm pretty sure we're still interviewing Tom McDermott.
I did listen to...
okay, remember... I think the only podcast where I had to leave to pee was Matt Tarnow's.
I I came in late to that one.
And there was one had where leave. I left the room and came back in.
Meadows is really good. That was a good one. Yeah. I enjoyed that one. I listened to that one the other day. That was a good one. It was so funny when you asked him. And I can't believe you asked him that. How many times have you taken credit for the podcast that you never listened to? I was dying. Because we heard little stories here and there. You know, it was always little things. Oh, man, they were talking about the podcast. They were talking about this. They were talking about that or whatever. And we knew Mike was just shaking his head.
If I had to do, like, a top five, and that's, like, choosing your top five children, Chris Page would be up there. Al Lambert would be up there.
That was great.
Al Lambert would be in the mix of Bill Michaels and Pang.
Absolutely.
Like...
That would not have happened. That would not have happened if it was the first, if we had just started our podcast and it was in the infancy. The only reason that it happened the way it did was because we had so many in the bank and people were talking about it.
Well, and he was interested.
Right.
He was interested.
Because it was something new, out of the box, and people were talking about it. And he's thinking,
he is an awesome guy.
Yep.
Like
that one definitely would be.
I would, and that's the thing is, every time I hear Al talk, I want to go out and do my job.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying that because he's, yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Every time I hear him talk, I want to go out and do my job. And so sitting down with him for, you know, half hour, 45 minutes was just awesome.
That was cool.
Man. Yep. It was a fun time.
It was. It was really good. And you're only talking about, you know, half hour to an hour doing them.
Well, what's crazy is, like, we did it for 80 weeks. You know
what
I mean?
That's crazy.
80, yeah, 80 weeks, maybe. We never missed a Friday.
That's 80. Now, not all of them are separate, right? There's some repeats in there.
Mm-mm.
Like Yoder, there's a couple, right? Because he's a Tiger mentor, and then we
no, went. No. We always,
these are all separate.
These are all separate. I don't include all the special editions, like all the boys that we interviewed. Charlie Carr, who right now is becoming a Marine. Like,
that was a good
one. Scott Buto.
That was a good one.
I didn't include that one in my.
That was a long shot, I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, who would have ever?
No. The best one. The best one. That both of us like. The Ghost Hunters.
Oh!
The Ghost Hunters. Oh my god.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
That was cool. They had no idea what they were getting into.
And that podcast starts off so slow.
It's bad.
And then it ends up like within the first 10 minutes, we find our footing, yep. And it became awesome.
Yeah, because it was like they didn't know who was going to answer the question. They didn't know how to answer some of the questions. And then all of a sudden, they're like, we're just having a conversation here.
Yeah.
This isn't a big deal.
So, you know? my thought was every Halloween time, do something like that.
Oh, man.
But you know who I want to do this Halloween? You know, on Brady Street, they have that person who's a fortune teller. I was going to stop in there. That
probably
was my
have
goal.
To pay her.
Huh?
You probably have to pay her.
Oh, well, it's free advertising for her. Especially if she doesn't, you know, like, think of this. If I have the podcast mic on and she starts telling me stuff about my grandpa,
and it really works?
Like, like.
What if it did
cool.
really? What if she told us our fortunes?
Yeah. I was totally, that was the plan. Was I was going to, some in October, I was going to go stop in there and there's that fortune teller on Brady Street.
That'd be awesome. That'd be a lot of fun.
So, oh, the other, you know, another person that we were trying to get was Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
We were trying to get him.
Yep.
That was a long shot. Yeah. I wish we could have got him on.
But we had some other big plans, too. Kathy Adair, the receptionist that we have there, mm-hmm. her son does that semi-pro wrestling. We were trying to put a semi-pro wrestling event for Cub Scouts together.
That would be
where they just put on a show and it would be more family-oriented. It'd be a discounted ticket. You know, and
yeah.
fill it full of 100 scouts and their families and have fun. Because you know those Cub Scouts love wrestling. I mean, Ashton, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Was it Rey Mysterio was his
Rey
guy?
Mysterio.
Yeah. They all love that WWF stuff. We were trying to get that done. That would have been cool to see. That's different. That's not something that
right.
you would think of as a Cub Scout event. So, yep.
Man. So where do we go from here?
Well, you're going to Indy. I'm staying right here.
Yeah. But look, like, so, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have this job if it wasn't for you. You were the one who was like, hey, come down tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think our friendship leading into, like, that time, you know what I mean? We had been together for a couple months. And you're like, hey, come down tomorrow and throw an app in. And now I'm moving to Indianapolis. You know what I mean? Like, promoted. So I mean, like, you know.
It's pretty cool to see. And that's what I always told everybody is from, you know, meeting you. I remember that first round table meeting you. And then.
Think of this.
Really?
At that first round table, I'm wearing red chucks. Yeah. I had a girlfriend at the time. I used to not put gel in my hair. I looked like a beetle. How things are different now.
It really was interesting, you know, to look outside of things and see how Zach fitted in the mix because you brought Zach to me.
Mm-hmm.
You helped me out with the whole commissioner and what they do because you were commissioner at the time.
Yeah.
You showed me the ropes on a lot of things.
Well, and I remember being like, hey, when are we going to get FOS started? I remember saying that to you and you were like, oh, that's probably something we should start thinking about or something like that.
Yeah, and I think the next day or two, Mike and I sat down and he showed me, here's what your calendar will look like for FOS. And then you brought Zach. Zach showed me a lot of different things with the BSA. You guys were really knowledgeable. And really, my whole, the first year, year and a half, was you two. I mean, there was a lot of the volunteers that helped out and did a great job with it. You know, Keith Townsley and your dad. And there's a whole bunch of people that are doing great. But really, it was you two that I would call and say, hey, what do you think about this or what's going on with this or whatever? And then you got hired. I remember being at Zach's house. Weren't we at Zach's house having a grill out? Yeah.
Yep.
And having a cookout. And I remember saying something about it to Zach because Zach was interested that we had an opening. And then you're like, well, what about me?
No, what? I just remember I said, I was having a hard time getting teaching interviews, and I just went, is there anything open at the office, just kind of off the cuff? And you go, bring your resume down tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, because I remember, I knew you were trying to get a teaching job. Mm-hmm. I knew that. So that's why I wasn't pushing it too hard on you, because I thought, well, he wants to teach, you know? And for a while there, it sounded like you had a pretty good in at Wheatland.
I thought I was going to be a teacher at Wheatland.
Yeah. And so I wasn't pushing the issue too hard. But then, and then that went really fast.
And the day I got back from signing the paperwork at Eloah, I had a letter from Wheatland that said I wasn't going to get a job at Wheatland.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That worked out perfect.
Yeah.
Then Zach gets hired how much later?
I got hired in July of 12. Zach would have came on in September, October of 13.
And now, look at everybody. Yeah. I mean, that's crazy to think about. And Zach's still there, and it doesn't sound like he has any plans of leaving.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, so Zach's one of my best friends since I was 10.
Which is crazy to think about, because I didn't even know what Zach looked like. You set up the meeting for us, and I sat down, I'm like, who is this guy? You know what I mean? I didn't know what he...
Right.
At the time, what was he doing? He had just started with the Arsenal, maybe? I don't know. But for some reason, he could meet, and we sat down. We talked for a long time. And when he became my membership chair, we became really good friends, because we saw each other a lot. And he did such a good job for me. And... And yeah, we're all three real good friends.
Boy, like, look at all the things that we've been through together. You've had a kid.
Yeah.
Zach got married.
Yep.
You guys were there for, like, during the whole death of my grandma.
Yeah.
That was the whole process. You know what I mean? Like, that was a. And I remember meeting with you in the waiting room, because your wife had been in the hospital for a little while before your daughter was born. And I remember being in the waiting room with you, like, working on stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I remember, because that's the really nice part about this job. And the nice part about the Iowa Council is Emily sat in a hospital bed for almost a month, nearly a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the flexibility to work from her hospital room during the day, pop into the office in the afternoon, work a couple hours, and then I could go get the kids and bring them back up to the hospital.
Yeah.
There's no other job I could have done that with. None. Right. And I can't guarantee that I could have done that at any other council. That was totally Tom and Mike that allowed me to do that and be with her, because it could have happened at any moment.
Right.
And that I'll forever be grateful for. That was cool. That was really cool of them. So, I remember being Skyped in for our planning conference.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. sitting next to Emily, headphones in, and listening to the different presentations. That was cool. That they would allow allow me to do that. And I told her, I can just Skype in and, you know, I can hear everything at the very least. You know, I won't have much to add, but at least I can hear you. So, no, lots of good things in store.
Well, lots brother, your kids need to go to bed. What is your parting wisdom?
Parting wisdom for who?
You? Catan District. Oh, well, how about Catan District and for me? And then for me.
Catan District. Don't ever be complacent with what is status quo. We never tried to be status quo when we were doing our job. And we knew what our boundaries were, and we kept trying to push them. And I think if you don't do that, you're not doing it justice. The one thing that we always talked about, and this was from almost day one, is if we're not in that conversation of being one of the best youth-serving organizations in the Quad Cities, we're doing something wrong.
Right.
And if you don't think that way, you need to get out of the profession. So whoever's taking over Catan, keep that mindset. Keep pushing the envelope. For you, go as far as you possibly can. I know you enjoy what you do. Don't stop. You know, there's going to be hard times. There's going to be times where things are not going to go exactly how they are. And we were blessed to be together and have fun for that long. It's going to be a little more difficult on your own. And you might find somebody that you get along with just as well. And who knows? But keep going, because you're going to go really far. I know you will. I absolutely know you will. And there'll be times where you'll be situations where you're not sure which way to go. Trust your instincts and just go.
Yeah.
You'll do it. You'll do a great job. So, as for me, I'm going to show up to my classroom every day. And I'm going to do the best job I possibly can. No idea where I'll be several years down the road. You know, I'll be teaching. I know that. I don't know where.
Yeah,
but I will be teaching. And I'm hoping this is really something special. I don't know if I'll ever have something like this.
Right.
That I enjoyed so much with a friend and got to meet so many cool people. I don't know if I'll ever have that again. You know, and that's pretty sad to me. You know, the more I think about it, 80 different times we sat down with this mic on. More than that, really.
Yeah. It's actually, if it's not 100, it's almost.
So that's 100 times
it
that
has
we sat
to be
down.
100. Yeah,
that we sat down together, and we would share things not only with our guests but with each other too.
Yeah.
So it's almost like sometimes we were interviewing each other through our guest.
Yeah.
You know, because you'd say something like, "Oh, I didn't know Andy knew that," or you know, and you know, that's something that I've never had. It's pretty unique. It was really unique, actually. And, you know, I thought I could bring some podcasting into the classroom. Still working on that. It's different. Whole different dynamic. It's a whole different dynamic. So I'm going to keep trying, though. I do have my own mic now, and I've got Audacity on my work computer. and I know how to edit things and stuff like that, but I don't think I'm quite ready to do it. If I am ready to do it, I have to do it justice, and it's going to be hard.
Right.
It's going to be really hard. Because I think, and we've done a lot of talking about ourselves, but to be honest, what we did was pretty cool. Yeah, even if you take it out of the BSA, take it out of that and just talk about what we did with what we were trying, you know, and our main goal was to meet new people and to find those relationships. That was pretty cool how we did it. So, how about you?
My parting wisdom?
Yeah. For Catan?
For Catan.
Yeah.
Keep having fun.
Yeah.
And absolutely. Keep being progressive.
Yeah.
And don't get caught in that. Don't get... Just keep it moving. Keep things moving. And don't get caught in the that's what we used to do. And
we always said that was a horrible phrase, and we're never going to accept that. If you tell me that that's how we've always done it, I don't
want
to hear
it. And I also, and that was the other thing, is like, I don't want you to tell me what you're not going to do.
Right.
Like, I want you to tell me how you're going to do what.
Right. That was always kind of our mantra, too.
That's the thing, is if people keep having fun and they do things that they know they're going to have fun with,
right,
that'll keep up everything.
I think a lot of the adults that came to our events had a ton of fun.
I think that there are adults that are involved because you and I were having fun, and they wanted to be part of that.
I agree with that.
So, for you, that's hard because I know that you're doing what you love.
Yeah.
I get to witness you firsthand be a great father. So it's like, what is there for me to say to you that could be awe-inspiring? I think the thing that you do best and that will help you out in the teaching world is keep pushing the boundaries.
Yeah.
Because, like I've said, I've told people, someday there will be a movie where someone won an Oscar playing Ian Scott in that classroom. I'm like, keep pushing the boundaries and keep...
That's something that you and I have definitely shared. That's our personality. We don't ever like to just do the norm. Not when we have the opportunity to do even more.
Yeah.
And that's... I think we're going to do that in both of our professions. We're going to keep trying. And hopefully some people are affected by it. You know, that's the thing.
So, well, brother.
All right.
Thank you for not only being an awesome partner, but also, like, letting me into your life. Thank you for, like, letting me be some type of uncle to your children. And I have told people, be like, what are you going to miss about here? And I'm like, I'm going to miss Ian and his kids. I'm going to miss that. And you move a block away from me, and I move 5 hours away.
And then you
away.
Go, yeah.
No, I'm going to miss you and your kids.
No, I thank
the
you,
fact
too.
That I pulled up tonight, and Owen is standing in the yard with an Iron Man outfit waiting for me to show up.
Oh, you should have seen him. He kept opening the door. He's like, he's not here yet. He's not here yet. No, that's going to be, yeah, that'll
and
be.
And Annie will have no idea who I am.
I used to work with Andy.
Annie is named after me. I'm going to put that out. That is record now.
No, I thank you, too. I put something on Facebook the other day about that, and I honestly enjoyed every single day that I came into work. And a lot of that had to do with you. A lot of that had to do with you, because we had so much fun. Every day, no matter what we were doing, if it was something that was crummy that was happening, we were cracking jokes or we were looking at something made us laugh. Whatever, you know, whatever it was. It was always a good time.
I can think of times where, like, things were crap and then I just make some off-the-wall comment or, like, where I was just, like...
One of the best...
And even if nobody around us was laughing,
I started watching some of the videos that we did 2 nights ago with Owen right before bed. I don't know why I got onto that kick, but anyway, I was looking at him. And one of my favorite clips is totally coincidental, I think. But I had made a crack about something, and we were dying laughing. We were really laughing hard. And it was so funny to see both of us laughing, like full-fledged laughing, and then bring it back in and go on with our dialogue. Because we were laughing so hard. We were just, and I don't even remember what the comment was, but I was laughing really hard, and so were you. And then all of a sudden we're like, oh yeah. We need to do this clip. And then we brought it back in and we did it. Flawless. I won't have that. You know, we won't have that again.
Oh, man.
But we have the legacy of the podcast. Yeah. Have the legacy of the videos. That'll be cool someday.
Yeah.
You know, show the kids. You know, they've seen them all now. But when we get older and I'm gray and, you know what I mean, and I'm a grandpa or whatever. Say, yeah, I did this when I was younger.
Yeah.
Me and my buddy Andy, we did these and we got paid to do this. You know? You know, that'd be kind of cool. So.
Well, it's been fun.
All right, absolutely.
Hey, absolutely. We'll do this again.
We have
this
to.
This isn't the last time.
No, we have to.
So.
Have to. All right, buddy.
Hey, brother. It's been great.
All right. We'll see you.